Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's July 10th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, a BSE positive blood test is on the horizon. The U.S. and South Korea are hammering out new trade regulations, and the United States Trade Representative says it's not yet time to give up on the Doha round of the world trade talks. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and then we'll check on the latest from the University of Illinois Extension entomologist. We'll update you on what Mike Gray and Kevin Steffi have penned in the most recent Pest Management and Crop Protection Bulletin. You, of course, can read that online at www.ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin. Hey, and don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILOAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILOAG.org and put the AM 580 agricultural podcasts to work for you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. A full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
On this Monday afternoon in Chicago, futures finished the day like this. Nearby July wheat at 382.5, up a penny for the day. September's at 403, we're up 4.75. July wheat in Kansas City at $5 and a penny, up 2 cents today. July corn futures back in Chicago at 247.75, we're 6.75 higher. The September contract at 257.25, up 6.25. And December futures at 272.5, up 6.75. March contract at 283.75. They were up 6.5 cents for the day. July soybean futures, 603, up a penny. August contract up 2 cents at 608.25. And the September's at 615.5, we're up 1.75. November beans at 629.75, up 2 cents for the day. Bean meal futures, July contract 173.40. They were 50 cents higher. July bean oil at 27.30, up 20. From the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle were down $1.77.5 today. Settlement price at $114.12.5. And the August live cattle at $84.20, down $1.12.5, 100 weight. July lean hogs in Chicago at the Merc, $70.60, were off 65 for the day. The outside markets, crude oil, August contract down 46 cents at this hour, $73.63 a barrel. The dollar at 85.48, down 0.47. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 11,095, up 4 points for the day. Crude oil, gold futures, August contract at $625.50, and they're down $9.30 for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange should be Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Thanks for joining us on this Monday afternoon. Weather again playing the markets in Chicago?
About half of it was, yeah. That's what gave us the initial spunk to get going, even though there is some good rains in the forecast for the Central Belt here. The trade's concerned about the wheat region where they continue to miss out in the northern plains, and plus the northern areas is probably going to get shortchanged on moisture. Then, two, the dry areas here where the rain is forecast, and they might get skipped over, too, in a couple spots. But once we get through the rain event, the heat is supposed to come back as we go into the weekend. So especially for corn, we're entering the key pollination time window, and we're in the time window where the most of the moisture is really critical at this point in time. There are also ideas that this afternoon's crop conditions report could show anywhere from 1% to 3% deterioration out of that good to excellent category for about all the commodities, especially for corn and the wheat, Todd.
And if that's the case, what will happen in the morning, or has that already been worked into this market?
Well, I think that's a catalyst to get us higher, and that was worked in there. That got us up to an area where commodity fund buying took over. On the day, the funds probably bought upwards of 20,000 contracts of corn, but there was one fund late in the day sell about 7,000 to 8,000 contracts late in the day, which still puts in buyers anywhere from 9,000 to 12,000 on the day there. So I think technical buying kicked in, and with this rain around, it sort of may help move it off the highs in there. But we've pretty well priced in the conditions reports this afternoon. Unless it comes outside that range, we pretty well priced in some maybe half one-inch range here in the central belt. So the trade's going to set back and maybe get more confirmation whether we're going to see that heat come in or not. But the key is we need to see some demand from exports pick up here. The thing is, we can trade weather and trade a smaller supply base, but in order to really have some good solid legs underneath the market, we need to see some steady demand continue to come up to the trough here.
It was a pretty good technical day in Chicago on the lead and the harvest month for corn. It appears things moved over, the 50 and the 100-day moving averages today? Gapped higher?
Yeah, on the day chart there was a gap higher, and if you're a day chart watcher, that's positive, and we just need to follow through on it. Still watching this 72 3/4, 73 area. That's the 62% retracement. I know we got to 77. That's great, but we need to make sure we stay above here and keep the momentum up. But technically, it is starting to keep these moving averages in a position here. If you're a trend follower, you should have the green light to be a buyer here for a while.
And, of course, the settlement price on the December contract where you mentioned the 72 3/4 was 72.5 for the day. So it's setting right on that. Should be interesting to watch trade overnight tonight then.
Yeah, we'll have this afternoon's conditions report. We'll have some more weather models this afternoon. And so I imagine 6:30 this evening here, we'll start to have some new numbers or new direction to look at.
As we talked to our analyst over the last week and a half or so, there's a decided split between, I don't know whether I want to call them bears and bulls, but let's make it easy and say they're bears and bulls, whether they're sort of friendly or a little to the downside, one of the two. Where do you stand on the situation for corn? Are you friendly this market going into the fall or not?
Yeah. Both.
Both?
Yep.
Okay, tell me about it.
Short term, you got to be a little friendly on weather, but I'm concerned as a producer in the cash grain market, we've got downside risk into this fall. There's still ample old crop supplies around. There's still a group of producers out there still hanging on, and I think that grain's going to have to come to town here. There's quite a bit of wheat in storage here that's going to take up some storage space, and so from a logistics point of view, I think as a producer, at these price levels, our risk is still to the downside. Now, that being said, I'm going to be probably one of the biggest bulls in a long time going into 2007. I think as we go in this fall in here, it's going to be a buying opportunity because I see a lot of demand coming forward here, and I think it warrants repurchasing cash sales. And if you're a hog producer or an investor or whatever, I think owning grain here into some harvest pressure is a good long-term investment or trade.
And that would be on paper owning.
Well, I'd even suggest go to the elevator with an empty truck and come back full. I know nobody's going to do that, but I'd be a cash buyer. I think they're going to widen the basis out. I think you're going to hear stories about I can't get a train in, I can't get trucks lined up, barge rates are too high. I think you're going to hear every excuse in the world to see the basis extremely wide. I think the biggest bang for your dollar is going to be in the producer's pocketbook from fall into early December. I think you're going to see basis improve dramatically. As these ethanol plants come online and start buying, booking corn, especially, I think there's going to be tremendous opportunity as the basis is going to come out of the doldrums here. I have a feeling the basis has been taken advantage of and it's extremely too wide, and I think you're going to see reversals of fortune as we go into 2007 and 2008.
Let's step away from the spec side, but if you've got it on farm in storage, or you put it in the elevator in storage and you're paying for it, have you run the numbers yet to see whether actually what's there can make money at 8.25% percent?
Well,
and plus what you pay?
Yeah, I was on the assumption that we'd be at some lower levels, for one, and I was looking at some wider basis levels from there, but 8.25 is going to be tough. The thing to probably look at is commercial storage versus on-farm storage. And I believe even commercial storage is going to pay when you look at the raw storage charge. Now, when you start figuring dump feeds and shrink and some other factors, it's going to be a little tighter. But the biggest return is going to be the on-farm storage. But I still think there's going to be some room for some commercial storage even to pan out at least into early 2007.
Tell me about the mercantile exchange for the day, please.
Basically, sell stops under last Thursday's and Friday's lows in the cattle complex. Got into that, and it just sort of generated some sell programs. We had some divergences on this technical stuff, so I imagine moves back up to Friday's lows is going to be some resistance in the fat cattle. We need to see some strength in the cash trade. Fears are that the heat in the west, we're going to start seeing some cattle come to town. Also, too, the fears of the hot weather that could slow down regular consumption there at the retail counter. Same thing on the pork side. For say we basically followed through on Friday's lower disappointing close, as we've turned the sell programs on here, and we're starting to see some long liquidations as the funds start to convert positions from long to short.
Kurt, thanks much for being with us today. And just a reminder that Dave Dickey and I will be off the next couple of weeks, so you'll be talking to some of the staff here at WILL rather than us.
Well, very good. You've got some real strong staff people there that you guys sort of trained, for say, that know their stuff, and so it's interesting to visit with them.
All right. Thanks much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Monday afternoons, and as I mentioned, starting next week, Dave and I will both be out of town. Dave, of course, a Methodist minister, as many of you probably know, and next week we'll be traveling to New Orleans with a youth group where they'll be doing some mission work, and I and several other Extension folks will be off to Ukraine in the former Soviet states, and we'll be doing some work in the Ukraine in Poltava. At a university there, and hopefully we'll be able to visit some of the farms that are now in the midst, I think, of their soft red winter wheat harvest. So hopefully we'll be able to get back to you with some numbers from there and what's been happening in the Ukraine and the former Soviet states. Kind of interesting to look at if you talk to them about China potentially and what they might be able to ship out. They do wheat, corn, and soybeans, and they actually do, well, not a lot of corn, but they do enough corn that it shows up on the export market. So we'll talk to them about that. And when I get back from the Ukraine, which will be the 29th of July, we can take up that discussion at that point. In the mean space, you'll be in the hands of the capable hands of the staff here at WILL, as Dave and I will both be gone those last couple of weeks of July.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with a weatherman from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Speaking of forecast, our own Jay Searles says tonight across the two-state region we'll have cloudy skies, especially in Illinois, some thunderstorms likely, especially in the southern and western parts of Illinois. Indiana will be partly cloudy, too, with a few thunderstorms late for western Indiana. The lows this evening around 70 for Illinois to the mid-60s in northern Indiana. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, some numerous thunderstorms. Heavy rain will be possible through central Illinois and Indiana. Gladly accepted, I note. Highs will be held up into the mid to upper 70s to the lower 80s. The extended forecast for the two-state region the rest of the week looks to be more of the same, with some summertime thunderstorms just about each day. Another round of significant storms may break out on Thursday night and Friday. Dave Dickey's here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, an article in the journal Science says scientists are closer to creating a blood test to diagnose mad cow disease before symptoms show up in cattle. Authors of the study infected hamsters with scrappy, a disease like BSE. They say they were able to detect the misfolded prion that is the main component of diseases like mad cow and blood that likely leaked from the brains of the hamsters. Scientists hope the work will translate into a reliable blood test for BSE. U.S. and South Korean officials have begun a week-long meeting to negotiate a free trade deal between the two nations. The sessions are focusing on agriculture and textiles. The U.S. is currently South Korea's second-largest export market, and South Korea is the seventh-biggest trading partner for the U.S. Last year, trade between the two nations totaled $70 billion. U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab squelched any notion that the U.S. is ready to pull the plug on the Doha round of world trade talks. Schwab told a pro-trade deal business coalition on Friday that while there was no energy at last month's Geneva ministerial, the U.S. is not throwing in the towel.
The U.S. has no intention of giving up, but we also expect others to step up to the plate. The goal we have in the next 3 weeks is to raise everybody's game, not to define success downward, and not to be playing the blame game as a smokescreen for inaction.
And Schwab called on all WTO members to focus on filling what she calls a black box on market access.
WTO members have a clear choice. Deliver at the promises made at Doha in 2001, or in the Doha framework, the Doha Declaration in 2004. To reduce barriers, to spur growth, and to spur economic development.
Schwab says she sees enough difference between the public rhetoric and private conversations of WTO trade ministers that she believes the Doha round could still result in a good deal. A University of Illinois Extension entomologist says Japanese beetle damage may be greater this year than last. Kevin Steffi says, in his words, "Last year I thought was bad, this year is worse." Japanese beetles are so thick in southern Illinois that traps had to be modified so collectors did not have to dump more than once a day. A single trap in Massac County caught more than 155,000 Japanese beetles last week. For the first time in its history, Vietnam has purchased U.S. corn. The 5,000 metric ton sale was made by a private company with three feed mills in Vietnam. National Corn Growers Association President Gerald Tumbleson says, look for exports of U.S. corn to Vietnam to increase in the long term.
They're a very poor country, but they were very positive people over there, and they are looking forward to the future, and they are expanding their diets. Now, when you do that, protein is very important, and whether they feed the animals our corn or we export meat to them or we export protein to them in the form of distiller's grain, it all looks pretty promising, and not very fast, but promising in the future that their society will be able to make a little more money so they can improve their diet. That's the number one thing they want to do.
Vietnam currently produces about 4.5 million tons of commercial feed annually, with the potential to reach 10 million tons as the livestock sector continues to commercialize. Domestic corn production is 3 million tons, of which virtually 100% is finding its way into feed. The winner of Mexico's presidential election, Felipe Calderon, says he will not seek to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement. That means agricultural tariffs remain on track to end in 2008. Calderon takes office on December 1st if he can survive a challenge from the Democratic Revolution Party, which is demanding a full recount of the July 2nd election. The DRP plans to contest the election at the Federal Electoral Tribunal, which has until September 6th to validate a winner. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. There you can sign up for our weekend newsletter as well as our podcast. You can even listen to the MP3 files directly from the website if you prefer. It's all at willag.org. If you'd like to time shift some of our programming content to a more convenient place in your life, that's perfectly fine with us. Dave Dickey and I have worked very hard to make that the case at willag.org. Well, up next, corn and soybean fields in Illinois and around the Midwest are aflush with insects. I have the latest on the Japanese beetle and the Western corn rootworm. Prepare for silk clipping by the Western corn rootworm. Western corn rootworm adults have taken flight across the Illinois agricultural landscape, says University of Illinois Extension entomologist Mike Gray. Gray says throughout much of central Illinois, many cornfields have begun to tassel, and that he and his colleague Kevin Steffi from University of Illinois Extension have received some reports of fields already being treated to prevent excessive silk clipping. The two work with farmers to protect crops in Illinois from insect damage. They say producers should consider a rescue treatment to protect pollination if there are five or more beetles per plant. Pollination is not complete, and silk clipping is observed. There are many insecticides listed in the 2006 Illinois Agricultural Pest Management Handbook that may be used against corn rootworm adults to prevent silk clipping. Many of the products listed for control of Western corn rootworm adults during the pollination period are pyrethroids. Well, the Japanese beetle will not go away anytime soon, with reports of ridiculous numbers of Japanese beetles continuing to come into the U of I. Kevin Steffi says he is not certain there's much more information to report that has already been released in the U of I's weekly Pest Management and Crop Development Bulletin. You can read it, by the way, online at www.ipm.uiuc.edu/bulletin. Well, the Japanese beetles, he says, are far more than a nuisance in many Illinois corn and soybean fields, and homeowners are battling them on flowers, fruits, and ornamentals. Steffi reports being asked about combination silk clipping injury by both the Japanese beetle and Western corn rootworm. Each species, he says, has its own threshold, three or more Japanese beetles per ear, five or more Western corn rootworm adults per plant. But there is no threshold for both insects clipping silks in the same field. Under such circumstances, people making decisions about whether insecticide application is necessary will have to use their best judgment, he says, hopefully based on some experience. About the best Kevin Steffi and Mike Gray say they can do is to suggest that the focus should be on the extent and longevity, how many days of silk clipping by both insects, rather than on the numbers of either or both insects. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It looks like it should be an interesting week for the marketplace with a lot of weather that is not what the market was really expecting. Looks like there could be a little bit of rainfall across a good portion of Illinois.
And we're hoping that some of our drier areas in west central Illinois can finally get some of that rain. They've been on the short end of the stick all year, and you know, it's frustrating enough to not get rain, but then when you see other people getting it and you not getting it, it makes it even harder to take. So we're hopeful that they always say we can get rain 20 minutes before it's too late, and I think we're getting close to that 20 minutes too late here in a lot of areas.
I think that 20 minutes too late is coming really fast for a lot of places.
Yes.
Tell me about the basis and how it has been holding up and what it compares to, like, from a historical perspective, please.
A basis is wider than we've seen historically, probably 10 cents cheaper on both corn and probably 15 to 20 cents cheaper on beans than what we've seen the last 3 or 4 years.
Can I stop you there for a
second?
I had a conversation with Daryl Good this morning, so I want to check with something. This is for a Commodity Week program that will air in a couple of weeks. We talked about half an hour, but, you know, I'll be in the Ukraine, so I have to put something together. It'll be on the website early if you want to go back and get it. On the widening, have you folks been building that in as part of your transportation cost, and do you suspect it will stay that wide rather than come back?
I think it will stay that wide unless we don't get rain in the next 2 weeks and we have something less than a normal crop, in which case then there may be enough storage space to store everything and people won't have to ship things at the cheaper fall basis levels. They can hold on to it until January and ship it at better values then. But even then, January levels compared to historical January levels will be a little bit cheaper than what we've seen in the past due primarily to the increased transportation costs.
Yeah, and it's unlikely that those costs will be taken back out of the marketplace. So it looks like the basis, what you're used to in basis, you might need to start expecting it to be more like it is today.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've told people to keep track of basis levels and compare it to their 5-year and 10-year charts, and now we might be telling people to throw away those 10-year charts because we may be in a new environment where we can only look at maybe last year's basis levels as a model.
Okay. And then your bids for the day are what?
Cash corn finishes the day up 6 cents at 239. New crop corn right out of the field, 247. Cash beans up 2 cents at 587. New beans, 605. Cash wheat, 353. Next year's wheat, 430.
We appreciate it, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson with the Andersons in Champaign joining us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'll talk about the ag weather in just about 2 minutes. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Attorneys representing convicted killer Maurice Legrone Jr. are trying today to get a new trial for their client. Legrone was convicted in April of 2003 for his part in the deaths of his then-girlfriend's three children who drowned when the car they were in sank in the Clinton Lake. Legrone's attorney, Jeff Justice, argues the jury should have been allowed to consider the crime of involuntary manslaughter rather than only first-degree murder. DeWitt County Circuit Judge Stephen Peters will hear the motion in Clinton. Negotiators for the Danville School District and their teachers' union are meeting today for the first time in nearly 3 weeks. Today's talks are the first since the Danville Education Association's two-year contract with District 118 ran out June 30th. Associate School Superintendent Mark Denman says disagreement remains on economic issues, but that the two sides are not at a, quote, desperation point. University of Illinois trustees are expected to approve the architect and engineer for a wind turbine project at their meeting this Thursday. The $5.7 million project would place the 300-foot-tall turbine structures on the U of I's South Farms. Once completed, the turbines would generate about 3% of the energy needs on the Urbana-Champaign campus. The Andersons has announced a deal to build and operate ethanol plants with Houston-based Marathon Oil. Sites for the plants have not yet been chosen. According to plans for the joint venture, the Andersons will manage and market the ethanol plants and supply the corn used to produce the fuel. Governor Rod Blagojevich today signed into law a measure that makes it easier for school districts in Illinois to consolidate. For instance, it allows two or more elementary school districts within the same high school district to combine, even if they aren't located next to each other. Nearly 9,000 low-income Indiana college students will be eligible for a total of nearly $9 million in additional financial aid under a new financial grant program, a rather new federal grant program. The Academic Competitiveness Grant rewards those who complete rigorous high school curricula. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706.
Mark Russo,
First Midwest
now on
Bank,
the line.
Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Mark Russo now on the line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, thanks for being on Commodity Week with us last weekend. We appreciate it a lot.
My pleasure.
And
always glad to be on.
For those who missed that, they can always pick it up off our website at willag.org. Tell me about the weather this week. Looks like we might get a little rainfall.
Yeah, especially across sections of Illinois here, and also we're seeing parts of Iowa receive rain here today. That'll continue tomorrow, and that's really this kind of blob of tropical moisture that's come out of the southwest and moving into the Midwest. So it'll bring a good chance of precipitation here across northern and central areas of Illinois, and that includes some of your drier western sections there of the state. Also, well, at least the one area that does look to miss out that actually needs it the most is the northwestern portion of the Corn Belt, namely northwestern Iowa, Minnesota, the eastern Dakotas, and virtually that area will miss out on all of this precipitation.
I think you told us about this on Commodity Week and things coming up out of the Pacific, didn't you?
Yeah, and actually the forecast is at least going as planned as far as we're concerned here, not only with the rainfall here over the next couple of days where these northwestern areas will miss out, but also the heat building in for the upcoming weekend and on into the early portion of next week, which is going to produce the hottest temperatures of the summer thus far, and we do expect temperatures to exceed 95 degrees across a good chunk of the western Midwest during this upcoming heat wave.
Anything else we need to know about before I let you go for the day?
At this time, that's really, the Midwest really takes the cake as far as weather information.
Well, I kind of thought that would be the case. Thanks much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joining us here on the Closing Mark Report on this Monday afternoon. You can hear Mark on Commodity Week on our website, by the way, at willag.org. You can also pick up today's futures analysis and the cash grain report and the weather markets that you just heard right there at that website. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.